Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather together again and to spend a little time in your word and then to just cry out to you and open our hearts to you in prayer. And lead us now by your spirit, Lord, and anybody on their way, help them to find into the room here. And Lord, bless the men's prayer breakfast this morning, the first Saturday in each month. And so we thank you for this room, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we finished the Psalm 119 today, I'm sorry to say, because I really loved it, and I wish it had 376 verses, but we will look through verses 161 to 176 today, the last two stanzas. Verse 161 reads, "Princes persecute me without a cause." Did you know the church was under persecution even before it started? Actually, the believers were. This goes all the way back 1,000 years before Christ, but there was persecution from the beginning by the evil, by the other side. "Princes persecute me without a cause." So when they come against you, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they don't like whom you represent. But notice the contrast here, "but my heart stands in awe of your word." How often do we consider just the wonder of his word? It's just awesome, isn't it? I mean, we use awesome for everything from pizza to coffee, but really the only place it really fits is the Lord and his word. But his word is so great, we stand in awe of it. We're just in wonder of it. It's such a treasure. Does your heart do that, particularly during times of persecution? "But my heart stands in awe of your word." And every time we read this kind of a positive statement, where I'm talking about my heart or my wholeheartedness or my commitment or my obedience or my keeping your commandments, I go, do I? Am I? Is my heart really standing in awe of your word? Well, I think it is wonderful. It is wonderful. Second verse here is a beautiful verse. "I rejoice." I rejoice at your word. Do you? Do I? Do we really rejoice when we have the word in our hand? Or is it just another, I'm familiar with the Bible, it's okay, but what I really want to read is the latest commentary. Have you read the new book on angels? Have you read the new book on heaven? Have you read books that tell you things that aren't even in the Bible? Forget it. If it's not in here, you don't need to know it. Now, you can wonder about some things, that's all right, but don't dwell on that. This is the word of God, it's all true. It's a testimony of his faithfulness. It's a testimony to man of his kindness, of his love. Just think of the love. This the first two chapters are creation, right? Third chapter is the fall. All the other 1,186 chapters are really about redemption. They're really about his love in redeeming us, aren't they? And so we look at this and we say, "I rejoice. I rejoice at your word." Oh, that we would mean that, we would do that. And what do we compare it to? As one who finds great treasure. Now, I really would urge you to bring your Bibles to these meetings, because this is the treasure. These sheets of paper are all right, but they're pretty lightweight. I mean, we got the 16 verses on there today, so I'm not putting that down. But the Word of God is more than 16 verses, right? The Word of God is, 31,000 verses. So when you're holding 16, that's a goodly amount, but I'm holding 31,000. What is it, 101 or 107, whatever it is. But over 30,000 verses here. So these are all truth, and I rejoice at it as one who finds great treasure. That's the same kind of an idea as one who achieves a great victory and takes booty and spoil without end. And that's what we've got here. We've got great treasure in our hands. And now we're going to talk about hate and love in the next verse. I hate and abhor lying. Do I? I can tell you I hate and abhor your lying. But I don't hate and abhor my lying enough. And there's a difference when I see somebody else lie and when I lie. Well, there's really no difference at all. But to me, there's a difference. I'm just stretching the truth a little bit. I'm just emphasizing, trying to make this story. No way. May we hate and abhor lying. Contrast. But I love your law. So are both of those things true for you? How true are they for you, I should say? How true are they for me? Do I really hate the things that God hates? Do I? Do I really love the things that He loves? And when I look at this, I love your law. I also want to read a little bit more into that, maybe. And that is, I love His law, but I love His grace much more than His law, right? Don't we love His grace? And He's blessing us not because of what we do, because He loves us. Under the law, you had to keep the commandments, or you were not getting His blessings, basically, generally. But Jesus paid the price, didn't He? Jesus changed that, and now we find that He wants to bless us. Now, we need to be where the blessings are. You can't be blessing, and let's say the blessing source is in this room as an illustration, and you're out in the parking lot, and you're wondering why you're not getting blessed, right? Well, you need to be where the blessings are, but it's not your blessings because He loves you. He just blesses you because, I mean, it's not your blessings because of what you're doing for Him. It's He blesses you because He loves you. He blesses you on your worst day, doesn't He? He blesses you on your big foul-ups, doesn't He? Now, He's not encouraging those, and you pay the consequences for those at times. But I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. And then 164, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. I believe that's kind of what we call a Hebrew idiom. It means continually. It doesn't mean, oh, I've got, say, I praise Him three times, I've got four more times to go. No, I don't think so. That's like Peter says, how many times do I have to? Seven times? Oh, that's so many. And he said, Peter, 70 times seven. So if you think you're really, really, really praising the Lord, why don't you just say 70 times seven? Or a kind of a continual, do you kind of continually praise the Lord or not? Well, at times I do, and then other times I'm very critical. I don't go very far, and I find fault somewhere, not in myself. I mean, I rarely find fault in myself, but I sure find fault in you when there's none there, you know. But seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. We have a lot about righteousness in the Word of God because He is righteous, isn't He? Isn't that wonderful? I praise the Lord because of His righteous judgments. And then turmoil and peace. We find plenty of turmoil in the world, right? But listen to 165. Great peace, great peace, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Wow. Great peace have those who love your law. I don't care what you go through, how bad it gets, Satan cannot get inside of you anymore if you're his. And really, nothing will cause you to stumble if you're really anchored in him. It may cause you to trip up a little bit, maybe hesitate a little bit, but he's got you, doesn't he? He's got you. He's not going to say, oh, you're in big trouble now, I'm going to leave you. No. He says, you're in big trouble now, maybe you'll listen to me. Now maybe you will learn more of the things that I'm trying to teach you. Because when things are going well, you're not learning anything, are you? Oh, I don't like my problems. And I don't like to be sick. And I don't like to be poor. And I don't like all these turmoil. You're not going to be learning anything. The hell is full of the people who maybe didn't turn to their problems. And maybe they died wealthy and wise in the world, but totally paupers and totally lost. Great peace of those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. 166, Lord, Lord, oh Lord, I hope for your salvation. Now, what does that mean? Well, it may have meant a little bit differently to the psalmist than to us, because the Messiah hadn't come yet. They were looking for him, but they would have to wait another 1,000 years for the Messiah. And Jehovah is salvation, right? But Jehovah is salvation. That's the Messiah. So we have the salvation because he has come. He's the cross. We're on the right side of the cross. I mean, on the good side of the cross, right? But this word hope here in the Bible, and used in this context, means full assurance. It's going to happen, no doubt. Got to happen. His salvation. Fully assured is another word that you use there. I'm fully assured of your salvation, Lord. Are you really fully assured that you're saved? If you're really saved, then you should be fully assured of everything, because nothing can take you out of his hand. And that's forever. Oh, wonderful, huh? Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation. And then what? I do your commandments. You know, when he told the disciples that last night before he was crucified that he was going to be separated from them, and what a shock that must have been. They'd been telling him all along, but they didn't really understand it. But one of the big questions would be, well, Lord, when I'm with you, I can express my love to you. Now, what am I going to do when you're gone? What did he say? Keep my commandments. You want to express your love to the Lord? Keep his commandments. I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. Now, here's a keeps. Verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. Now, notice, it doesn't say your brain. It doesn't say your hands. It doesn't say your feet. All of those are part of you, but the real you is your soul. That's the eternal part. Your hands and feet are going to pass away. Your brain's going to pass away. But my soul keeps, and that also could really mean observed and obeys. My soul keeps. It observes your testimonies, and then it leans toward doing them. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Notice we have three loves in this little stanza here. I love your law, who love your law, and I love your testimonies. So what would you put after, if you had to write a couple of things down, I love what? What would you say that you really love? Well, the psalmist is saying he loves the Word of God here. He loves the law. He loves the testimonies. And that's all descriptions of the Word. And then another I keep here in verse 168. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Wow. Now, that's a biggie. But we're going to close with verse 176, which brings it back into balance a little bit. Now, all my ways are before him, but are all my ways, all those of the ways I want to be before him, some of my ways I don't want to be before him. I hope he doesn't see them or forgets them. He won't bring them up, but nevertheless, he sees them. I keep your testimonies and your precepts, for all my ways are before you. Now, compare a minute to all my ways are before the praises of other people versus all my ways are before you. How much do you love the praise of other people? Probably more than we think. But in reality, what others think are really unimportant relative to what he thinks, right? Jesus never said that I know in the scripture, I have come to please you. He said, I come to please my Father. I always do the things that please my Father. So when I think in terms of I keep your precepts and testimonies and all my ways are before you, I have to remember there are many, many times, many, many ways that are not keeping his precepts and testimonies. And instead of really being positive before him, they're more like not before you. They're kind of beside you or hopefully not in front of you in terms of looking at others. You know, one of the great verses there in the psalm is, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Is that really me? Well, we get to the last stanza, and we can really entitle this last stanza, the Word of God is a source for healthy speech. The Word of God is a source for healthy speech. We're going to have several lets here. I think we have five lets, or may. 169 is, let my cry come before you, O Lord, or may my cry, or permit my cry to come before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. So take that verse, if that's the only verse you had today. Wouldn't that be a great verse? Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. That understanding there means to discern it, to know not only what it means, but what it is instructing us to do. Give me understanding according to your word, your word. And then saying it again in another way, supplication. One is a cry, you can say prayer, and another supplication. They're both prayers, really. Let my supplication come before you. And then the first one was, give me. Here is, deliver me. Deliver me according to your word. That, of course, means to rescue me. It also means no compromise. According to your word. Not to deliver me in a compromise position. That's not going to work. But deliver me according to your word. That's my prayer. Let my supplication come before you. And then back to praise again. Verse 171. My lips shall utter praise. The word utter means to literally gush forth. I don't know. I've never been. Anybody been to Yellowstone? Does that thing really gush out of there? I guess it does. I don't know. But think of whatever gushes forth. Maybe a fire hydrant after a car runs into it. But my lips shall utter praise. Are your lips gushing forth with praise for him? Or how often, I should say. Have you ever had your fire hydrant of praise knocked off and it all spews up? Think of that. Just made my lips utter praise. For or because you teach me your statutes. Again, because I've got the Word of God inside me. You've got the Word of God inside you. My tongue. Oh, boy, this is a big one. My tongue shall speak of what? What is your tongue speaking of? Well, sometimes it speaks his word. But how many times is it not speaking his word? How many times is it used as a knife or a scissors to cut somebody up? I mean, that's true, isn't it? I mean, I hear some laughter. Maybe that's strange to you. It's not strange to me at all. I have real trouble with my tongue. And James says it's the one thing you can't tongue. You can't tame. You can't tame the tongue, right? So, my lips shall utter praise. For you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word because or for all your commandments are righteousness. Now, again, think what that means. All of God's commandments in this whole Bible here are all righteous. Now, you can't put your hand on any document or anything that's all righteous other than the Word of God. I don't know what you got your hands on these days, but this is the thing that is all righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? We stand in awe of it, don't we? It's a wonder before us. Let your hand, again, another may, or let praying, and all these prayers in here, let your hand become my help. Oh, what a comfort that is. Let your hand become my help. How many of you are crying that out today, or in grief or difficulties? Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. Beautiful picture. And then 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord. And again, I think that had even another special meaning to the Old Testament saints that has been satisfied by the coming of Christ. But still, salvation all-inclusive, the redemption, the being born again, I long for that, O Lord, because that is so good, isn't it? I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. And then I put down, is it? Question mark. How much is this word of God my delight? 175, let my soul live. Now you want to pray for revival? Let's start with ourselves, right? Let my soul live. That means to stand for him now, right? That means to do what is right now. This doesn't mean just to exist forever, which it is, but let my soul live. Revive me, O Lord, and it shall praise you. So how much are you praising the Lord? That's an indication of how alive is your soul, I guess. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let, another let, your judgments help me. Again, righteous judgments, guidance. Let your judgments help me. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And then finally, now we bring it back to some balance here. You know, we started off with, blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. And we liked that, didn't we? Yeah, that's good. I like that. Well, we have a little more soberness now as we close this psalm off. It's all good, but it's so realistic. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, that one I can put down, yes. I can relate to that one, Lord. It's hard for me to relate to really being wholehearted for you, but it's easy to relate. I've gone astray, or I go astray, be translated either way, in either word, past tense or including present tense. I go astray, I wander around like a lost sheep. A lost sheep has very little, they're not that dumb an animal, but they have very little homing capabilities compared to, say, an eagle or something like that. An eagle can never get lost, right, in a way. And I was reading, you know, how the Lord in his magnificent way trains these memory things like in an eagle. The mother takes him up, teaching him to fly, takes him further and further away from the nest, and then comes back. And there's this magnetic stuff in their brain that senses the true north, so they never get lost. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it's just evolution. It just happened, you know.
Yeah.
The bird created, and he always knows his way home. It's just Mother Nature. You can't explain it. Well, that's true. We can't explain it, but we know it's not. It's the Lord. It's not what his creation is. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And then the cry, seek your servant. Lord, I'm so thankful that my salvation is not based on my performance. I'm so thankful my receiving blessings of you is not based on my performance. It's based on your love for me. But I do cry out, seek your servant. Because I go astray, I need to be brought back to the fold, right? I need to be brought back to you. I don't know how many of you left home this morning. Some of you drove away. Some of you didn't drive very far. But you may have thought, oh, Lord, protect me as I drive. And you may have left with the greatest closeness to the Lord, knowing he's with you. He was with you in the garage. He's with you with the car. He's with you all the way. And then somebody cuts in front of you. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, you know, You're not in that position anymore, right? And you're going, yeah, how could they do that? What's wrong with them, you know? So, Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, and then I do not forget your commandments, for I do not forget your commandments. And I don't think it's possible for us to, once we're his, we can't forget them. We can at times choose not to obey them, but I still know I'm doing wrong, right? When you lie, you know it's wrong. Now, you still may finish the story, but you're convicted, right? And I guess it's kind of a sense of how closer to you, Lord, by what the timing, if you took a stopwatch, and as soon as that conviction hit, how many seconds or how many parts of a second or minutes would it be before you really confess to the Lord in a way that is meaningful based on what you've done? It's not, oh, forgive me, Lord, and go right on. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking, what did I do, Lord? Oh, forgive me, right? So I hope that that time is not, because when we first come to the Lord, I think what we tend to do is we want to rationalize every single thing, right? And we want to say, Lord, I know it's wrong, but you understand why I did that, because this and this and this and this. He knows all that. And forget the excuses, right? Forget the excuses. Come right to the confession, right to the recognition of you did. You didn't do what he said, to do this and you'll live the right way. Don't do this and live a less than a right way. So this wraps up the 176 verses. So again, spend time with as few or many of these verses as you will, and you will find treasure in them and wherever you are in the Word, because it says, I rejoice at your Word. It doesn't say I rejoice at your Psalms. You could say that, but not exclusively the Psalms. I rejoice at your Word as one who finds great treasure. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the beautiful time of in this psalm. And every Saturday you give us just a blessed time to spend a few moments looking to your Word, and then giving us some moments together to look to you and to cry out or to seek you or to just praise you. And so lead us in these moments this morning. Guide us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Let's close now at 7:30. Let's praise the Lord and bless his name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Father,
it's that closeness that you want, Lord. You want us. You want that relationship with us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the man as they're gathering for this breakfast this morning, and may your word go forth there.
Yes.
And bless each one here because they came, and may you find us available for you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.